Welcome to the RSP cast. I am Matt Waldman with the Rookie Scouting Portfolio. It's early Sunday morning after Thanksgiving. I hope all of you had a wonderful holiday and holiday weekend. Got a lot of good times with family, got some good food in your belly, and got to watch some football. I know I got to do all three. And we are finishing up the top five series that I did based on listener demand, which is top five NFL players at each of the skill positions. I did a quarterback session with Will Hewlett, a wide receiver session with Matt Harmon, a solo session on running backs, and I'm finishing up here with a solo session on tight ends. Who are my top five NFL tight ends? Now, the difficulty about grading tight ends is that they are multiple positions in the way that the NFL uses them these days. You've got your pass receiving tight ends, kind of like Zach Ertz, who, you know, is much more of a receiver than blocker, although he has gotten a lot better at blocking since his days at Stanford, where he was really little more than a big receiver. And then you also have guys who are just mainly blockers, guys who come in and do their job as a run blocker or pass protector and occasionally get a little love in the passing game. Reserve Jeremy Sprinkle's a good example of that with Washington. But we're going to grade tight ends on the level of how I think they should be graded when you're talking about the top players. And those are guys who are the best all around at the position, guys who can catch, guys who can run block, who can pass protect, who can do it all, because that's really the spirit of that position back from the old days, at least. Now, there were always players who were great, you know, as tight ends who were even Hall of Fame players who may not have been great, great, great blockers. Ozzie Newsome was a good example of that. He was one of my absolute favorite players growing up, a converted wide receiver from Alabama who became a Hall of Fame tight end with the Browns. But let's get back to these all-around players. Who are some of my top five guys? And then I'm going to mention a couple players that I think deserve a little bit more credit, or just some people that you should be keeping an eye on just because of where they may ascend as their careers progress. First guy on the list, I think we still have to talk about Rob Gronkowski. I know that he's been hurt. He hasn't looked quite the same in terms of his explosion, but when you look at what he even did earlier in the year, he can still threaten a seam. He can still beat players one-on-one, whether it's a safety or a linebacker. He still excels at being able to get off the line of scrimmage with quickness and with physicality. He has excellent ball tracking skills. I mean, he's the type of receiver who can track the ball directly over his head. He can make tight coverage plays. He can leave his feet and dive for the ball, high or low, outside his frame. He's going to get the job done. And, you know, he reminds me of any old school player in terms of how he runs the football. I mean, he's absolutely reckless in the way that he carries the ball. He's incurred some injuries in the past because of how reckless he's been, landing on his head, you know, landing hard on his back or shoulders in awkward positions, trying to get that extra yard. But he's so difficult to defend when he works those over routes or works up a seam, and what he can do, being able to break a tackle or accelerate and work past you. So he demands a lot of attention in the passing game. And he can play out wide. He can play in the slot. He can play in line. And when you talk about in line blockers, I mean, he's one of the best at it. I mean, he's a fine pass protector, but he's also an absolute stud of a run blocker. He's someone that you can run outside with him, and he's going to be able to reach block. He's going to be able to run direct blocks. He's going to be able to work to the second level and help you out on a linebacker. He has good hands. He's someone that can drive you. He can help double team. Really versatile player. Probably the most versatile tight end we've seen in a long, long time in this league. And he deserves every accolade that he's going to get when his career is over. He's an instant Hall of Famer. He's just an absolutely great player. So, you know, even though he's slowing down a little bit, he still can block. He can still get open. He understands zone. He can still beat man to man. He may not be as dominant as he once was, but he's still one of the top tight ends in the league. The guy who I think is the top pass catching tight end in the league right now, I think it's Travis Kelce. And I think that he's very close to really being the top all around tight end in the league. And arguably he maybe already is, because he is an excellent run blocker in his own right. He's someone that you can count on at that level. He plays to his size with good technique in the Chiefs run game. When they use him in that capacity, he can stalk block for you, but he also gives you some added dimensions as a runner. I mean, the way that they use him on shovel passes or end arounds in that jet sweep game, he's someone that has that fluidity of a ball carrier. I mean, he does not run like a tight end. Rob Gronkowski runs like a tight end. I mean, he does. He runs like a really athletic, big, hulking bully of a tight end. Travis Kelce runs like a wide receiver with power. I mean, he's got really fluid hips to be able to dip in and out of creases. He can set people up, and then he can also break a tackle or two. He's not as reckless as what Gronkowski's been, but he doesn't need to because he has excellent acceleration in the open field. So you combine that size and strength with that acceleration, and then you throw in what he can do as a route runner. He's got great hips, you know, and the ability to drop your weight to come to a complete stop at the top of a stem where you're accelerating into that, and to be able to drop the hips and turn, or to be able to run double moves where you can drop the hips, turn, and then break back upfield. Kelce's been able to do that since his days at Cincinnati. And this is a guy who had microfracture surgery during his first season in the NFL. So that surgery worked out for him. You can see that he still plays with that kind of mobility and flexibility, that athletic skill, and he incorporates it really well with his technical route running. And he has good hands. He can go up and win the ball. And we really haven't seen Kelce be a fade route target at the level that he's capable of, because Alex Smith back in the day didn't throw a lot of fade routes, and with Patrick Mahomes hasn't really needed to do that, but he has been able to throw some back shoulder or force Kelce to make some adjustments away from coverage that have been just absolutely fantastic this year. So if there's a tight end that I'd probably want for the next 4 to 5 years on a team that I'd pick right away first, it would be Kelce, even if I think Gronkowski over the course of his career is obviously a little better all around. But I would not turn down an opportunity to have Travis Kelce as my tight end in an offense. Anytime, I wouldn't turn that down. So after Gronkowski and Kelce, because we know that those guys were pretty obvious, who else do we have in this list? Well, a guy that I just truly missed on when it came to evaluating him. I got Kelce, I think I did a pretty good job with Gronkowski, but George Kittle, 49ers, George Kittle, the tight end out of Iowa, I completely missed on him. I don't think I watched enough tape on him. I saw a guy who could stretch the seam. I saw someone who seemed like a high effort blocker, but I didn't see enough of him as a blocker to really see how good he really was. And I didn't get to see enough variety of routes to see how savvy he was against zone, as well as what he could do, against different types of competition, man to man. This is an all around strong tight end, probably one of the best blockers, around that we're seeing, at least now as we're seeing him transition into year two. He's very powerful run blocker, gets good leverage, doesn't quit, moves his feet extremely well. He can drive people down the field. And then you have the fact that he is a savvy zone receiver and who, you know, regardless of whether it's been Jimmy Garoppolo or C.J. Beathard or Mullins, he's been a security blanket for them. And he's got that acceleration after the catch, which, you know, it's maybe not be quite on the level of Kelce in terms of his maneuverability, but it's awfully close. And, and his pure acceleration might be even a little better. So he's a dangerous guy who you can use to stretch the seam. He's going to be able to help you in line as a blocker. He's an absolute find, and he's a player that I've just have to, you know, reminds me that there are sometimes that I need to watch a few more reps of some of these guys. If I see something that really flashes, but I don't see it enough on other tape, you know, might just have to keep watching a little bit more, because I certainly missed out on him, you know, in recent years. It's probably one of the bigger misses that I've had. So those are, you know, those first three, Gronkowski, Kelce, Kittle, awesome players. Okay. So who's number four on this list when we're looking, you know, if we're going to, you know, if we're going to look at guys that I think are deserving of this kind of, you know, this kind of attention. And I think that, you know, when you look at, you know, those three, I think the fourth guy that you've got to give some, you know, you've got to give the props to, I think it comes down to a guy that's been hurt in recent week, you know, in recent, you know, recently this year. And that guy who's been hurt is Delanie Walker. You know, I know that he's an older guy and that he's someone that we think about, I guess, you know, that because he's older, he might be slowing down a little bit. But if you see what he did last year, just looking at what Delanie Walker did last year as a receiver, you know, he was sixth in the league, you know, probably in all around production. He was, I think he was in the top 3 to 4 in receptions. His yardage had over 800 yards. You know, he didn't have a lot of touchdowns. He wasn't, you know, a huge focus in the red zone. And Marcus Mariota struggled a little bit last year as well, and that offense struggled. But what Walker does so well is that he's an excellent blocker. He's someone that can block for you in the run game, inside or outside. He's a guy like Kelce who can run the football. They used him on end arounds at times. He's a guy who breaks a lot of tackles after the catch. He can stretch the seam. You can get him upfield and have him beat a safety. I mean, this was a former wide receiver, and he worked with Vernon Davis and with the 49ers as kind of a backup co-starter at certain points during his career. But he's really come along. And even at age 33, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if he comes back and has another year or two in him. He's always been a very tough player, and maybe I'm giving him a little bit more cred, and maybe he should be more of a guy that you say deserving of more recognition, but not necessarily a top guy. But to me, it's the blocking that separates him. He's a very good blocker. I mean, last year, when you think about how he graded out, you know, he graded out pretty high as a run blocker and pass protector from what I've seen. You know, he's one of the better pass protectors in the league. And then his run blocking was pretty much up there with guys like, you know, Travis Kelce, even a little bit better than what Kelce did. And maybe up there with guys like Rob Gronkowski. You could consider, you know, Hunter Henry in that mix to a degree. And he might be a guy that you'd say, well, why not him? You know, Hunter Henry's a pretty good run blocker. He's not a bad pass protector, and he's certainly a good receiver. And he is. I think he's a very strong receiver. But I think I've seen more from Walker doing more with less. And so I'm a little more impressed with his game over the course of time, whereas Henry deserves that recognition in terms of deserves more recognition. And as when he gets healthy, if he can return the form, I think that he will be on this list soon enough. But I think that You know, overall, Walker's a guy that I'm going to give that credit to. And another guy that I'm going to give that credit to is O.J. Howard. I mean, watching O.J. Howard in his second season before he went down with this ankle injury that's put him on IR. Listen, he can do it all. He's also a fantastic blocker. I mean, that was probably what his calling card was when he came out of the draft last year. You know, he's someone that is going to be able to help you out off the edge. He functions very well in space as a stock blocker. He can work in line. He's got quick feet and hands. He often gets very good position, strong player. And then he has that just freakish acceleration and speed. And this year, you know, opposite of guys like, say, Zach Ertz, who's gotten better as a blocker but was really a receiver, you look at someone like Howard, and it's funny because at Alabama, he dropped some passes he shouldn't have. You watch him at Senior Bowl practices, he dropped passes you'd say he shouldn't have. But he wasn't – they'd use him in ways where they just said, you know what, we're going to give him the ball in the short area of the field and hope he just outruns everybody. And occasionally did that. But you didn't see a passing game that really stretched his ability to win the ball in the air, to beat tight coverage, to make highly athletic back shoulder plays, one-on-one rebounding type of situations. That didn't happen at Alabama often, if at all. I didn't see any of it on tape. So you wondered if he could do it. And then last year, you didn't see much of it on tape, so you wondered if he could do it. This offseason, you know, I read about what Howard did. He studied Tony Gonzalez. He studied Rob Gronkowski and Travis Kelce. He studied the top tight ends from recent past and current day. And he really got a lot out of Tony Gonzalez, you know, who was an excellent rebounder. Young Tony Gonzalez, I'd have to say that in terms of just receiving tight ends, hard to argue if against him as one of the top three receiving tight ends of all time. Just an amazing route runner. Amazing route runner. The way that he could snap turns, the way that he could come to sudden stop and drop his weight, and the way that he could find open zones and set defenders up in the short area. And I'm talking about all of this when he was like old Tony Gonzalez. Young Tony Gonzalez could do this stuff too. And then he could rebound and he could run after the catch with, you know, with the type of athletic ability that you see from guys like Kelce and maybe even a little bit more. So when you look at Howard, this year, you've seen more of the back shoulder catches, more of the 50-50 rebounding routes, good hand techniques, ability to stretch the seam and get downfield. And while he hasn't had consistent quarterback play from either Fitzpatrick or Jameis Winston, he's done an excellent job of getting open and making the most of targets this year before he got hurt. And you know what he can do as a runner after the catch. All right, so that's it. That's my top five tight ends, and that ends my series on top five skill position players, you know, quarterback, running back, wide receiver, tight end. I hope you enjoyed it and got something out of it. Just a little bit of news to end this show. If you are new to the RSP cast, thank you for listening. You know, please rate and review it. If you know, let me know what you think of it. You can do that on iTunes. You can do it on Stitcher, Google Play, Blueberry. It's also available there. And if you haven't ever heard of the Rookie Scouting Portfolio publication, not my site, not the YouTube channel, my publication, I've been doing it since 2006. That's what all this is about. The RSP publication is what I make available every April 1st since 2006. And it's a draft guide that is unlike any other. And I say that with all immodesty, because it is unique. I don't come from it trying to mimic an NFL GM. I don't give grades 1 through 9 or A, B, C. I'm not trying to guess where these players are getting drafted. I don't do that. I just evaluate talent. And the process I use is unique. It's based on a world-class process management system for evaluating performance that I adapted for studying football players. And I started this in 2006, and it became much, you know, I've learned a lot from a number of people and a number of football resources along the way. Certainly have. And I want to give a lot of credit to a lot of people for that. But I also learned a majority of what I've learned through self-directed study, watching thousands of hours of tape with a process that's highly defined and graded in a way to reduce as much bias as possible, and structured in a way to help me to continue to build on that process so that I'm maximizing the knowledge that I gain from it. That's what I've been doing for almost 15 years now. And it's become, you know, a product that people in the NFL buy, people in football media buy, and of course, a lot of fantasy football players love it as well, because it gives real football knowledge and doesn't sacrifice on that. But at the same time, it uses that knowledge to help teach the fantasy player a little bit more about football while giving them an angle where that they can strategically figure out who they should be picking and building for their teams. And how does that happen? It comes in two parts. Okay. First part is the pre-draft, available every April 1st. Second part is the post-draft, available no later than 1 week after the NFL draft. They work together. The pre-draft is really the long-term outlook for these players, regardless of what team they go to. It's about their talent and potential for growth. And so everything that I do to study these players is in that publication. I have a glossary of terms in terms of what my evaluations, how they're defined, like each of the criteria points, like how divisions defined, how route running is defined, how, you know, pass blocking is defined, you know, how footwork's defined. All those things in terms of how I watch and grade are defined for you to see. How I, the type of grades that I give and how I structure my evaluation grading in terms of the number and how it's arrived at, that's all defined and shown for you to see. You could do this work yourself when you buy the RSP if you wanted to. That's how much detail I lay out. And I do that because I want you to get an understanding of why I rank the players where I rank them, you know, where there's potential for them to be a little higher based on one or two things if they were different, to where they could be a little lower if one or two things were different. I give you an opportunity to see, you know, how I graded them game by game, then how I stack rank them together based on each of those, you know, requirements at that position against each other, how they're stack ranked, where they can improve, where maybe that's going to be more difficult for them not to improve, where they have more upside than others, player comparisons, also detailed rankings profiles that give you a nice narrative reading experience to take you through that player with all his strengths and weaknesses, and why I put and putting it all together in a way so that you can understand why I have them ranked where they do, where their hot spots or low spot, you know, cold spots are as players, and how that can change their ranking possibly. Give you underrated and overrated players. I look at draft history and analyze recent draft history and tendencies. I give a lot of commentary about the draft and about evaluation in ways that helps you understand kind of the game within the game from an outsider's point of view. And I've had people comment from within the league that my understanding of some of the dynamics of management with upper management of NFL teams and how that filters to coaching and to scouting, I've been told that that is something that has been very accurate, and I've had a good finger on that without ever being in the league. And that's because I've had that operations management and client management and quality management experience in the real world. And it translates just as much to the real world of the NFL, even though they like to kind of hide behind that veil of secrecy a little bit and mystique. It's not that much different, you know, and it's scarily not that much different. So you're going to get that kind of experience and perspective in the Rookie Scouting Portfolio publication available April 1st. And it's available for pre-order coming soon. It's usually going to be available for pre-order sometime in December through April. You can order it anytime and it'll be available for download April 1st. The post-draft will be available again a week, no later than a week after the NFL draft. And that contains cheat sheets that give you a sweet spot for, you know, between ADP and my ranking of the player. And I re-rank those players based on where they landed to help you, you know, do depth chart analysis that you'll see that helps you kind of figure out who's going to have a good chance of starting early, who's going to need a little bit more time, who their competition is, what their contract situations look like, you know, who's come and gone from that team and how that's going to help or hurt those players in terms of supporting talent. And the depth and that analysis is going to go into a cheat sheet that helps you see kind of the sweet spot between where I rank them, where the ADP is. So that, for instance, say when I rated Patrick Mahomes my number one quarterback, you know, in the 2017 draft, I didn't say you should pick him first in dynasty leagues. I was able to show you where you could get him at a value and make sure that you were going to land him and not have to do it by wasting a first round pick on him. So things like that I do every year with that post draft, and people swear by the post draft. They love that cheat sheet. They'd pay the money for the pre-draft and post-draft combined just to get the cheat sheet, many of them, especially the newbies. But I tell them, keep that pre-draft and look at it and make sure you continue to consult it as a reference for the next 2, 3, 4, 5 years, because you're going to find that the analysis in there is actually more accurate long-term when you get rid of some of the ramifications of team fit. And when players get cut or they get hurt and then rehab and they're behind somebody on a depth chart or they're dealing with team politics or whatever, you're going to find that that you can find talent that people go, who was that guy? I never heard of him, or I didn't think he was very good, and suddenly now he's really good. Well, the RSP pre-draft gives you that unvarnished view. And so, you know, they're great publications that people, you know, you can ask around on Twitter, ask around on message boards. I think you'll find overall people are very happy with what they get from the Rookie Scouting Portfolio. Both those publications and a newsletter that I run from June through December, all of that together is at one price for $21.95. That's what I sell it for after the pre-order period. And when I say pre-order period, I say pre-order discount period. There's a 2-week pre-order discount period that I usually come out with sometime in December. And I give you actually 10% off of that sales price to order it. And that just helps me keep this operation running year round. I have a lot of people who insist on waiting until that pre-order period is over so that in January they just can pay then and pay full price because they think I underpriced the publication. And I probably do. But I want you to get way more than what you bargain for with it. And most people are severely shocked when they get the RSP publication, which is why I'm spending 10 minutes on it here at the end of this podcast. So that you kind of have an idea that you should check it out. You can go to my site, www.mattwaldmanrsp.com, and click on the RSP preview page there, or go to mattwaldman.com, WALDMAN.com, mattwaldman.com, and you can check out the video tours of the RSP and RSP post draft there. On top of all of that, 10% of every sale has been going to Darkness to Light since 2012. They're an organization that is designed to train communities, you know, individuals, schools, universities, police departments, fire departments, civic organizations on how to prevent sexual abuse of children in communities, as well as how to address it when it does unfortunately occur so that they do not compound the damage that can be done to victims and families of victims as a result of what happened. And we've seen that happen, obviously, with Michigan State and with Penn State and with other communities where the unfortunate occurrences has created more problems because people were not taking the right approach to really help out the victims and be advocates for the victims and to protect them. So that's what this training is all about. And we've trained thousands of people at this point because of, you know, folks who like football and wanted to get a good football resource and draft day publication like the RSP. So I'm very proud of that. And, you know, thanks to those of you who have purchased the RSP in the past and helped out in that regard. Again, you can learn more about it at mattwaldman.com or mattwaldmanrsp.com. And I promise you, you will be pleasantly shocked at what you get. Just look around, ask people on Twitter, ask people on message boards. You'll figure it out and realize that it's something that you got to give a try. Again, I study quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and tight end at that position. With that publication, between 150 to 175 players every year. I've already studied about 120 players, and I'll be making some announcements with that soon. So with that long spiel over with, thanks again for tuning in, and I hope you have a good week ahead.